You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Trace decay. Man, this show's got some technical jargon. This episode in particular was very like the philosophy of Westworld background.
This was, you've been waiting for some backstory, so here you go. We got a big reveal last time, and this time it wasn't as much of a fireworks moment,
no.
But there were definitely the character Tallulah, who we kind of first saw as the first host, the hospitality girl that William meets when he's getting dressed. So we see she is definitely in three fucking timelines, or at least three fucking events.
Okay, so I'm not as clear on that. Explain.
So there's the one with William.
Mm-hmm.
And then she is.
Oh, she was the Bond girl.
She was the bait.
I didn't realize
that was her, and that's why it's very telling because the man in black says, "Oh, you're still here. I thought they would have retired you."
Right, right.
So that was a very aha moment. And then she is also in Dolores' flashback to the. I can't remember what they're referring to it online, but it's the town with the white chapel, which is obviously this probably looks to about, and there was a good Vanity Fair article where they broke it down, and it's like, it looks like there's 35 years ago, because that flashback is very much, that it's got all the people dancing together, mm-hmm. and then one of the girls kind of starts to wander off on her own. And I took that as being like, okay, this is our introduction, the time they introduced into the park these new, organic model hosts.
Right, when they went from the old robotic ones to...
that have definite AI, and so they can go I don't have to dance, I go wander around, and then somebody has to wander and go, no, you need to go dance.
This
okay.
was basically a testing town.
Yeah, it's beta town.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, somebody comes and shoots the fuck out of everything, and it looks to be that the person who does that is probably Teddy.
Yeah. Or Dolores, though. I mean,
it may be Dolores. They've definitely got, she's seeing something, but we've seen that there is footage of Teddy being the guy with the shotgun in two modes. In one, he's dressed as a sheriff, but and in the other, now that he's been reprogrammed to the Wyatt storyline, he's a Union soldier.
Yes. And now Teddy is finally starting to remember stuff from before.
Right.
Which is kind of new. We haven't seen Teddy really. Teddy's just kind of going well, okay.
Yeah.
It's been his character for the past quite a few
Which
episodes.
Which leads me to believe that whatever the man in black is doing, it's working, although I don't know if he intended to get tied up and surrounded by cannibals.
Well, it seems like the memories coming back thing is triggered by new trauma.
Yeah.
And the strongest held memory.
This whole episode is about memory. I mean, trace decay is literally a term about memory.
Yeah, in humans, in the way that, our memories start to fade and which ones stay around longer.
It's like when you go talk to that high school buddy about, hey, remember that very meaningful thing you said to me once that totally changed my life? They're like, I never said anything
that.
That
wasn't me.
That wasn't fucking me.
No, dude.
But it had to be. It was so important.
No, that was Slugface. Slugface?
Who the fuck is Slugface?
And the important thing about that here is that the hosts don't have trace decay. If it
exactly.
wasn't for the fact they kept wiping their memories, they would have crystal clear reminiscences of everything that's ever happened.
As indeed Maeve does.
As indeed Maeve now does. Well, boy, she is full on
Yeah, she's remembering up a storm.
Yeah, she's going to be the queen of this revelation.
And that was, and yet again, that tends to be a weak area. Not that I think Tandy Newton is doing a great job. I even like her schmoes. They still have not offered proper stakes as to why these guys are being so schmoey.
That's the only thing that's bothering me about Westworld.
It really is.
Is that, guys, really? I mean, at least...
Yeah, at some point, it's just like... the original explanation offered of, well, I'm going to expose, that you're banging the merchandise, and even her like I'm going to kill you threat, it just doesn't jibe.
Yeah, especially when they have the control panel in their hands.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, she's already proven that she can wake up
Felix,
on her own.
Felix seems to have, like, there's something else going
Felix,
on
Felix, yeah, when we saw when he first met him and he's doing stuff he's not supposed to do because he's really fascinated by this AI, I think he does have a philosophical dog in this fight.
Like, I'm wanting him to be part of this, like, underground outside that's, like, in the Truman Show.
Yeah.
He's just like, how will it end?
he's obviously terrified, as anybody would be, but at the same time, he kind of wants to see how this is going to play out.
Yeah, definitely.
Where's the other guy? What's his name?
Sylvester.
It's
Felix and Sylvester.
The other guy who you thought it was just, he was just dead, and it was like, wow, that's fucked up. You just killed him and then said, all right, now fix him.
Yeah, no, that was, I don't know. I was there was part of me that was kind of like, well, you know, good. At least, you know, we've got one guy with no stakes that's dead. So at least I understand that.
Right. Well, I mean, like, I think she made her point, like, hey, guess what? I can hurt you now.
Right.
And easily. And there's not a goddamn thing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's, you know, she's obviously opened up a big ball of worms in game, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
yeah, well, she's at the position now. You're like, well, how are you going to get out of this one?
Right. Although she does have that little thing of like, she can make the host do what she wants now.
She can. And also would presumably be actually capable. I mean, we haven't really seen it, but I would imagine if a host set its mind to it, it would be significantly stronger than a human being.
Sure.
You know, I mean, even to the point like where
one would think, I mean, we don't know
their organs failing or whatever's, we're not really sure exactly what's inside.
Apparently the second season is going to be very much about like what makes the host tick, how their mechanics actually work.
Right, because we don't really know.
Yeah, I mean,
all
we know
we've seen
like
is the muscular
blood and muscle and guts.
But we don't really know about like what works inside. And we do know in this one, we see her get stabbed through the chest and just refuse to die.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. So, technically, normal things that would kill a human wouldn't necessarily kill a host, John.
Sure.
It's just all the programming.
Yes.
So, that's interesting. So, she could terminate her out.
Because it's really hard for a human being to, like, grab a boulder and smash his own brains out with it.
Yeah, that's not the common way of choosing to...
Hard suicide method.
Yeah, they sure... Like,
because, like, in the scene where you see the body afterward, it's like, he took out half his fucking skull.
Yes.
Like, all right.
Yeah, that was, I think there's a point where you're like, okay, you would have been incapable of continuing to bash your head there. Teresa, of course, we saw her go out last episode.
Yeah.
And it's just so, like, Ford isn't even trying to hide his disdain for the fact, like, yeah, I fucking killed her. He might as well say that. He's literally laughing during
the whole autopsy. Like, you know, where Bernard's like, hey, you haven't made me do this to anybody else. He's like, oh, no, of course not.
However, I'm not sure I don't disbelieve him, because with the scene we see that he flashes on, it looks like he killed Josie, right?
Elsie. Yeah.
Which sucks. But why would
As I said, I knew the moment that I came out and she was my favorite character that was a bad idea.
But why would Ford want her dead for the discovery she just made?
Sure.
My thinking is that either that's Arnold programming, or maybe there's somebody else who
I think there's something weird going on there, and I also think, like, you know, I'm not saying Shannon Woodward is the biggest star in the firmament, but she's a name. She's carried a sitcom. She's an investment. So, you know, just kissing her off after, you know, seven episodes seems a little weird, but we shall see. I certainly haven't written her off, and definitely as I was talking to some friends earlier, that it's just like, you can't. This is a show where you can't write anybody off until like you have, you know, pretty much seen them go into that little incinerator thing
that
Bernard used today. It's like, okay, well, I kind of trust it now that I've seen her ashes.
Yeah, pretty much. So what did you think about all the stuff with Teddy confronting the man in black there and their whole discussion?
It's interesting. I mean, definitely we've been waiting for some backstory on the man in black, and we definitely get that.
Yeah.
I mean,
Still not everything we want,
but strong motivations. So, you know, this is why I came here, and, you know, and you're kind of, you know, some people have already posited the idea that, you know, if he is William, which it certainly seems like he is, or there's certainly plenty of arrows, excuse the term, pointing that way, that if he does, you know, go off and do something really foolish like fall in love with an android,
yeah,
then he has to go back and marry his boss's sister, and that could have led to the point where it's like, oh yeah, well, I thought I was happy with my wife, and but we were actually in a loveless marriage, and she killed herself.
Yeah,
you know, there could be something there. Of course, we've also got Logan riding up on the scene,
which was like,
which is our little cliffhanger, wearing his Hand of the King badge. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck was that, other than them going neener, neener, neener at Game of Thrones.
And then as well, the new programming, the new storyline that they kind of introduce more of the, like, the crazy monster villains for, seem to be, like, a game breaker. Like, it's sort of like Ford put all this stuff in as the final boss. Like, why boss, but maybe the programming's not finished yet? Because, I mean, if you can shoot a guy, like, six times and he doesn't fall and he's growling like an animal the whole time, I'm thinking something went wrong.
And yeah, this is next level gradient.
We even saw images of that monster on a screen in the actual proper institute. So yeah, we know that this wasn't some hidden thing.
It is by design, if not literally figuratively. But we mentioned this before when we first get the, you know, revenants or whatever the fuck they are. Mm-hmm. The Westworld Reavers, if you will, we both commented that it's like, oh, this is like, you know, when you're like 15th level and you think you're badass and you wandered to level 35, you're like, oh god, fuck!
Very, very true. I wonder if it's like they're not actually there to be a proper narrative as much as they're there to stop the man in black.
Yeah, and I think that's telling in the fact that he's having a hard time with him. And as we've seen, he doesn't have a hard time with anything.
No.
You know, he walks through the park like, you know, grease through goose.
That's a great expression.
Well, thank you.
Grease through a goose? Is that a thing?
Yeah, no, it's a homily, but yeah, I mean...
When geese eat fast food, they just shit that stuff out immediately.
I have been... you know, it's like when you get a high-level character and then you go back to, like, you know, you go back to Point Farm on something and you have become likened to a stepping razor. You're just, you know, slaying things by just looking at them. So,
as well, like, another question about the whole game-breaking sequence of that, like, you know, Ed Harris is now in the top level.
Mm-hmm.
Man, fucking Teddy did not give him a light casual punch. He wrapped up some
bullets in a wrap and, like, was giving him the old 1-2.
I was like, well, that doesn't seem like that's within safety parameters.
There's something weird going on there, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, Teddy is definitely... Well, he's not only, obviously, we already know, a programmed major part of this new narrative that Ford's setting up, but we also pretty strongly suspect that the new narrative is about more, like I said, than just having a new narrative in the park.
Sure.
So maybe this is all part of that. Ford's, like, willing to do whatever it takes to protect whatever secret it is he's trying to keep people from solving.
I mean, I think the major revelation on... Harris's part is that he's like, no, if you and me get into the maze, we get to the center of the maze, then you can hurt me. Then the you know, we'll have real stakes. And so it's like, okay, interesting.
The hardest question is, so what could possibly be in the center of the maze that's that dangerous?
You know, there was a point where May first freaked out after her daughter dies, and she's in the lab, and they're trying to calm her down, and she's going off the blink, and... Bernard/Arnold, or whoever he might be, says to Ford, she's defragmenting. And if you look at the icon that it's using, it looks like a maze.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's like, oh, well, if that's how their logic is mapped on their head, you know, maybe the center of the maze is more metaphorical than geographical. It's responding to the part of their programming that basically has their Asimov protocols.
And what was with the, when seeing at the town, we saw with Dolores' flashbacks, not only do we see her, you know, shooting everyone and then presumably about to shoot herself, but we also see her seeing her own dead body in the river.
Yeah, that was freaky.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what? You may not want to fill up your canteen there.
Yeah.
I just, there seems to be maybe more timelines going on that we're seeing that we're even giving the show credit for.
Yeah, I mean, and that's always been the case. I mean, I think this definitely, like I said, I think, what's her face? And I think the actress's name is Tallulah Riley, but you know, the fact that she's offering us a definitive, like, these are three hard points that are definitely apart. You know, gives us that there are at least three timelines going on.
Angela.
Yeah, there's before William, there's after William, and there's Man in Black. And, you know, the Man in Black and William thing could be running concurrently, and they could be different people.
I'm still not convinced. People said there's argument that because of that line of him saying, oh, you're still here, I thought they would decommission you by now. It's because that's literally the first host that William meets in the park.
Right.
But I don't think that's not.
Like, no. It's not concrete.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not concrete for those of you who are still holding out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you got anything else to add about this episode?
Not really. I mean, this was, last one was kind of a slow burner with the spectacular end. This one was, it felt a little, I don't know.
Epilogue to the last episode.
A little bit. This felt a lot more like a setup for some major stuff. And I think they did a good job in presenting us with, you know, excellent information, and gave us a lot of stops. Yeah.
Dotting a lot of the I's, yes, crossing some
but
of the
this
T's.
This is kind of an Age Voltron episode where they're like, all right, we're setting up for the next two episodes, and that's okay.
And I suspect we're going to see big things start to go down in the next two episodes.
And I certainly hope they bring me some kind of conclusion, or at least what to expect with Elsie, because she is one of my favorite characters. And, you know, I hope they if nothing else, just... You know, I'm experiencing that, you know, your loved one went missing 15 years ago and you're never going to know.
I had no idea you felt that strongly about the Elsie character.
I have a big crush on Channel Warburton.
Fair enough. I can see why. One of the writers actually said, and I think someone referenced The Walking Dead, and they said, don't worry, we're not going to leave you with a huge cliffhanger this season. And I'm kind of like, I'm the guy who likes huge cliffhangers.
I don't mind huge cliffhangers, but in a season one where you're not sure if you're going to get picked up again,
you should have some sort of move. Yeah.
It turns out, well, like I've mentioned before, I have an acquaintance of sorts working on this, and it turns out that he's actually the head story editor. So,
oh, nice.
Dan Dietz, if you're listening out there, Don't fuck it up. he's writing the next episode on Toto, so that'll be on him. But I think he's done a good job of, like I said, kind of giving us, you know, even when he's doing a setup, giving us stuff to chew on. And that's what this felt like. This was, you know, wasn't a steak. A little gristly, but something to chew on.
Two more episodes to go, and then it'll be a year and a half before you get the next one. So you better enjoy it, folks.
Yes, because given our current situation, we may never see it.